Well, the gospel reading for this first Sunday of Advent is in Matthew. Let me find that. Matthew 24, and Jesus says this. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken, and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour.
Was your whole hat full. Mary, I know what I'm going to do tomorrow and the next day and next year and the year after that. I'm shaking the dust of this crummy little town off my feet and I'm going to see the world. Italy, Greece, the Parthenon, the Colosseum. Then I'm coming back here and go to college and see what they know. And then I'm going to build things. I'm going to build airfields. I'm going to build skyscrapers 100 stories high. I'm going to build bridges a mile long. What, are you going to throw a rock? Hey, that's pretty good. What'd you wish, Mary?
Buffalo girls, can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight? Buffalo girls, can't you come out tonight?
And dance by the light of the moon. What'd you wish when you threw that rock?
Oh, no.
Come on,
no.
Tell me.
If I told you, it might not come true.
What is it you want, Mary? What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down. Hey, that's a pretty good idea. I'll give you the moon, Mary.
I'll take it.
George, come on home, quick. Your father's had a stroke.
Mary, I'm sorry, I've got to go.
Come on, George, let's hurry.
You got a doctor?
Yeah.
Campbell's there now.
Keep awake, therefore, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. That's how it happens, doesn't it? You're just going along, living your life, minding your own business like George Bailey was here. And just like that, your world gets changed on you. That was George's experience. All his hopes and dreams were vanished in this moment as he's brought up jolted awake by his father's death. In Noah's days, before the flood, before that flood happened, people were just going about their business like George Bailey was, eating and drinking, going to work, getting the kids to school, shopping, Black Friday deals, watching football, until the day Noah paid attention to what God was doing and built an ark to carry his family and the remains of civilization to a new place. The people out in the streets, they just laughed at his idiotic preparations until the flood came and swept them all away. Well, this election has a lot of people caught up short, doesn't it? So many people don't know what to say to each other. The big buzz this last week in the social media was, wisely, I guess, how to keep from having fights over politics at your family's Thanksgiving dinner. Well, how'd that go at your house? Tell you what, if I had been with my family up in Wisconsin, it wouldn't have worked so well. Everybody there just has to have their say, no matter what. And we sound like we're fighting, even when we're agreeing with each other. That's how my family is. Or a loved one's death brings us up short too, doesn't it? So many of you have experienced deaths in this last year. One day they're here, you're talking to them, encouraging them, depending on them even. And the next day, they're just gone. And they're at peace, but the rest of us, not so much, huh? Rudely awakened to the fact that life is so fragile, really. Our time on earth is short, and we're faced with this question: how will we live our lives with the time we have left? Well, keep awake, therefore, Jesus says, at the start of this Advent season. For you don't know when God will break in and do something in your life. Sometimes at the least expected, the most inconvenient moment. And whether you'll receive that as good or ill is up to you. And the Advent, as you know, is a season of repentance, kind of like Lent. Repentance means turning in an action. So, here at Lord of Life, we want to help you with this season. In case you've gotten distracted by all the negativity around us in our culture, we want to help you with that, to help you move in this more positive, hopeful direction. So you can say, whatever's going on in the world, in the nation, in our lives, repeat after me, it's still a wonderful life.
It's still a wonderful life.
Thank you. But we can only see that when our eyes are open, when we're paying attention, when we know what time it is, by stopping ourselves once in a while, or getting stopped dead in our tracks, sometimes by a God moment, to wake up to this moment we're in. And we're going to use more clips of this film. How many of you have seen It's a Wonderful Life before? Yeah, a lot of you have. Okay, we're going to do it again. It's clips every week on Wednesday nights at our 7 o'clock worship service. They're short, 35 minutes. Come and join us. And we're going to reflect on watching George Bailey deal with many more abrupt shifts that come upon his life and where that takes him. And if you've seen this movie, you know it's ultimately to a powerful spiritual awakening. And maybe this film and its related scriptures can help us to ask, how is my spiritual condition these days? And if we're in a healthy place spiritually with a God's eye perspective, a kingdom of the heavens perspective, we're going to hear about that a lot this year because our main gospel for this coming year is the gospel of Matthew, kingdom of the heavens. If we have that perspective, we're going to be more likely to see the changes in life, not as threat, but as signs that salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. As St. Paul said in Romans, the night is far gone, the day is at hand, so let us put on the armor of light. Let's live as if our lives are out in the light for all to see. Let's be attracting the good stuff of the light that God wants us to attract. Because, yes, even in the midst of the flood of changes, repeat after me, it's still a wonderful life.
It's still a wonderful life.
Yes, it is. To be lived with gratitude and with hope for what still doesn't seem so good to us. Louis Armstrong was a man who had an incredible ability to be awake to what was good and pleasing in life. The first black musician to make it in white society back in the 1940s, in case you don't remember the century, some of you younger people. Louis grew up in New Orleans. He had a mother who made a living with prostitution and a father who had many addictions to drugs. And so it was a very chaotic family. He was in and out of relationships with his parents, his grandmother, and a Jewish family, a wonderful, affirming Jewish family, nurtured his musical abilities as a trumpet player and became just famous for his modifications of jazz. Awesome. And what a tough road to hoe for him, living his entire life on the color line between black and white societies. One side calling him an Oreo for deserting the cause, the other side calling him uppity. Huh? Yet through it all, Lewis kept this vision of the goodness of life that was exemplified when he was the first to record a song written by Bob Thiele in 1967 as an antidote to the racially and politically charged climate that was in our nation at that point. How many of you are old enough to remember 1967? Few of you. The rest of you maybe read it in history books. Well, anyway, at that moment, the civil rights movement and the Vietnam War were raging. They had the nation so divided that you were hearing some people say, America, love it or leave it, at each other. Remember that? Whew. We wondered how the Union would even survive at that point of history here. And some of us even wondered how our families would survive the divisiveness that was right in our own families with all the issues we were facing. But in the midst of all that, Louis Armstrong chose to record this song. Let's see if you can recognize it. Anybody know? What is it? What a Wonderful World. Let's sing the first verse together with Rob. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I say to myself, what a wonderful world. Thanks, Rob. But to see that this is a wonderful world requires a great deal of spiritual discipline on our parts, the kind of discipline that Paul talked about in Romans here when he declares to us, okay, folks, it's time now for you to wake up from sleep, the sleep of cynicism, the sleep of apathy, the sleep of just busyness, the sleep of victimhood, as if somebody else is in charge of things and I'm helpless to change anything. He says, it's time now to wake up and ask, what is God doing? Where is God's salvation coming where perhaps I couldn't see it before? Because what God is doing, including in his final coming to judge the living and the dead, it's all good. So how do you get yourself out of the flood that threatens to consume you day after day? The flood of network news, the flood of daily pressures, the flood of stress, so you can be awake to what God's doing. Well, that's why I like Advent so much. Advent, this new year, this fresh start, it's a reboot spiritually for us as Christians when we've gotten kind of spiritually lazy. You know, we get to start over. So what works best for you to nurture your spiritual depth? What I do in Advent is I start my new journal for the year. I make sure in Advent that I, at least at the start, I take my 30 minutes of meditation time in the morning, or at least 10 in the morning before I go to work out. Emily and I pick a book to read each day for devotions. You can take one of these things that we are using here, or you can take one of the books outside, out in the narthex. But we read that at breakfast at our Advent wreath every morning before we head into our day. There's lots of resources for you here around church. Just look at the back of this new cool bulletin. We're hoping you take this home. These are intended for you to take home. Look at all the ways that you have an opportunity to be nurtured spiritually and prepare yourself for the coming of Jesus. Lots. And we have Sunday worship here every week to help you mark the time week by week as we light the candles. We have these midweek services that are just, 35 minutes. Come join us. Or come to the Messiah next week. There's two settings of it to help, and or help us serve our friends at Harvestwood or our foster families in a couple weeks, you know? Here's a novel idea. How about this? How about turning off your news half the time on TV and just shutting that out and turning on your favorite Christmas music for a few minutes? What about that? Listen to what God's doing through the music of this season, huh? In our house, I like to get our old scratchy vinyl record of Godspell out, and I just blast the thing through the house. Emily just hates it, but I have to play that sucker. What will you do to be more fully awake to what God is doing in this season? It's time to wake up from sleep because, repeat after me, it's still a wonderful life.
Still a wonderful life.
Amen.